What's up, guys? It's three-time NFL Pro Bowler, all-decade return specialist, Josh Cribbs. I want to welcome you to the Match Sports Connection podcast, where Alex hosts the Mid-American Conference Best.
Alright, everybody, welcome back to the Max Sports Connection Podcast. I'm your host, Alex the Captain. Thank you so much for joining me this week. Baseball season on the horizon, and I wanted to bring on a special guest to kind of help me break this down, break down the season, talk about potential MVPs, talk about how the season's going to go. So this week, I bring on Graham Giles, one of my dear friends, and of course, one of the people who follows Mac baseball far closer than I ever have. Graham, thank you so much for joining me this week.
Well, I'm really happy to be here. Love to talk Mac baseball. I don't think folks talk about Mac baseball enough, but it is one of the jewels of the conference, and I'm glad to be here to talk about it.
Absolutely, and we've seen a lot of great baseball players come out of this league in the last several years. Last year alone, there were 9 players taken in the Major League Baseball draft, 3 from Kent State, 3 from Ball State. These are high-caliber players that, like you said, don't get talked about enough. Let's dive into this season, however. You know, we saw Ball State win the MAC tournament after Kent State had an incredible 46-win season. Ball State comes in, wins the tournament, and they go to Kentucky to play in the regional of the NCAA tournament. Now we're here. We're in 2024 baseball season. What are we looking at? Who's returning to what teams? Why does it matter?
Well, this year we did see a big change. We like you mentioned, we had 9 players get drafted over the summer, and we saw a coach move teams and take a few players with him. We've seen transfers go to bigger name schools, and really just players graduate. I think that's one of the nice things about the MAC is that it doesn't have quite as many moving pieces as a lot of the other conferences, and so we really do get to see players grow and develop, which I think brings us into this idea that there are MAC teams who perform year after year after year. I think anyone who's a fan of MAC baseball remembers the 2012 Kent State run at the College World Series. Incredibly exciting for MAC baseball fans, for Kent State Golden Flashes fans, and for those of us like me who were growing up in Northeast Ohio at the time. Really exciting to have some additional baseball to root for in the College World Series, which we don't always get in Northeast Ohio. And so that kind of excitement led to a lot of expectations around a Kent State team. The following season, Jeff Duncan comes in as the coach at Kent State there, takes over for the Golden Flashes. And since then, it's 10 years for Jeff Duncan at Kent State. And perennially, this is the team who's the top of the conference. And that's not taking anything away from the past few years. We've had a lot of Central Michigan success and Ball State success as well. And so I think those three teams, again, are going to be the top of our conference.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. When you look at what they've done historically, you know, we saw multiple tournament championships come down to a combination of those three: Kent State, Central Michigan; Kent State, Ball State; Ball State, Central Michigan. And that's been the story the last several years. They've kind of had a stranglehold at the top of the conference in terms of just overall success. And we've seen Central Michigan go and play well in the NCAA tournament. Ball State, again, they played in last year's regional. Kent State, as you mentioned, that 2012 fantastic run. These are good programs that don't really get enough attention on the national level.
Well, I think that's true. I think that's true that these MAC teams don't necessarily get the attention they deserve at the national level. But I also think baseball is one of those sports, especially college baseball, where smaller programs do often succeed. And as much as we like to complain, and we do like to complain as MAC fans that the conference doesn't get the respect it deserves in the national landscape, I think that we might be appropriately rated. As much as I hate to say it, I think the MAC might be appropriately rated in terms of baseball talent. Kent State always has a team that can compete. Central Michigan always has a team that can compete. Ball State usually has a team that can compete. And those three teams really are the class of the conference, and I don't know that they could compete in some of the major conferences. I mean, and that's the honest truth. If you want to compare top players in the conference to top players elsewhere, I think those players generally can compete. We see that in summer ball leagues all the time. We have MAC players who really show out, but when it comes to truly competing against the big names, the MAC is always going to have a hard time competing there. So I don't know that we need to be so concerned about our status on the national stage. I would not be surprised to see whoever comes out of the conference tournament this year maybe cause some havoc in their regional.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't even be surprised to see the conference champion move on to one of those super regionals, but I would be very surprised to see them move further than that. These are great teams, but I think we need to be realistic about the baseball talent in the conference.
And that's completely fair. You know, it's been what now, 12 years since that Kent State, you know, run, and it hasn't been replicated since. So I think you're. Analysis on where the MAC kind of stacks, where the MAC ranks nationally, is a fair one. But you did mention some of those players who compete on the bigger stages with, you know, some of these other guys at summer ball. Who are some names that are really jumping out to you this year in terms of players to watch? And maybe, I guess we can even talk now, we could talk potential player of the year.
Well, yeah, if you want to get into player of the year, I wanted to point out, just as we start here, we have these... some of these guys who are really stud players, and I think who deserve to be mentioned, but maybe aren't in that that player of the year conversation. Some of those guys, there's a couple of stud catchers in the MAC that I think, and a lot of times catchers don't get this player of the year nods because they have to do so much, right? It's when you're managing a pitching staff, as well as going out there and having to hit and having to manage a team. Sometimes all of the things that these catchers do for their teams get lost in the statistics. And because they get lost in those statistics, the catchers don't get the recognition they deserve. There are a couple of stud catchers in the conference this year. Hunter Dobbins, one who comes to mind for Ball State. Ball State has had a run of mm-hmm. of great catchers who get overshadowed because Ball State is a pitching factory,
mm-hmm.
and they've produced some just great pitchers over the past few years. Guys who have gone to the league, including Kyle Nicholas, who just made his major league debut last year. So Ball State continues to be a pitching factory, and at that pitching factory, we need a decent foreman to monitor the progress of these pitchers that are being produced. And Hunter Dobbins does a great job behind the dish for Ball State, and I expect him to be the class of the catchers in the league this year. Other catcher I wanted to talk about, Kent State, not quite the pitching factory that Ball State is, but still has a ton of arms. They do a great job on the hill, and behind the dish for them, Brody Williams, another hard hitting catcher who is going to contribute for his team. So I do being a former catcher myself, I do like to highlight some of the catchers as we go through. Now when we're talking player of the year, generally that is a position player, that sure. we're going to talk about in terms of player of the year. So I'm not going to get into some of the arms right now because there are some great pitchers in the conference this year, and we'll talk about those in just a second. But for now, let's talk about player of the year candidates. I'm going to talk about some kind of dark horses first before we move into the guys who are really the ones who we think are going to win that award. I like Rylan Zebrowski from Miami, a third baseman. Speedy kid, great with the bat, great defense. Anytime you have a skilled infielder who is a consistent hitter, they're going to have a chance to take that Player of the Year award. We've seen it over and over again. Talking about from Toledo last year, Jerron Williams, who was a great shortstop for the Toledo Rockets last year. And we've seen some of that kind of similar players be selected as Player of the Years in the past. I'm reminded of Blake Dunn, who was kind of the I actually don't think Blake Dunn ended up with a MAC Player of the Year ever, but he was a Western Michigan phenom in right around 2020, and had injuries kind of derail his career. But a guy who was getting looks on the national stage in terms of potential Golden Spikes a winner. So
that was a big deal. I remember that popping up in the social circles. A lot of people were really talking about him possibly getting the Golden Spikes, and just that was a big deal on social media.
And unfortunately, injuries got in the way, and so we didn't get to see that fully realized. But some of these infielders who are really skilled infielders, they do have a shot at the award. Another guy who, again, it's going to take, and I don't think I mentioned this for Ryland here, but the reason I pick him as a dark horse is this Miami team, I don't know, has a shot to really win the conference.
Sure.
But if they do make that push, if they end up in the championship game in that tournament, It might be because of Zebrowski here, and if it is, that's a great way to end up at winning those Player of the Year talks. One of my dark horse picks. I also like Nathan Archer from Bowling Green, an outfielder, for the same reason. Very skilled, great with the bat. And if he can magically take the Bowling Green team, who I expect to finish at the bottom of the conference, and bring them up to the point where they can finish close to the top, that's great fodder for Player of the Year conversations.
Well, and I think, you know, you talk about Bowling Green, and I want to talk about them for just a quick second before I get into one of my dark horses. This is a program that didn't exist 3 years ago. Like, it just ceased to exist. And now, like, we're talking about them. They're not going to finish last in the conference. At least I don't think they're going to finish last in the conference. I think they'll probably finish middle of the pack. It's so incredible to see just the alumni come back and want to invest in this program. And now we're talking about guys who could be potential MAC Player of the Year. Like, this is such a huge step forward for Bowling Green baseball. And I want to give my flowers to them for that, because they've earned that. You know, that this is a program that has had a lot of reinvestment. And it's really cool to see a program that really, because of COVID, they're ready to say, hey, we're going to cut this. This is the program that is hurting us. Let's just go ahead and cancel it. And I was just thoroughly impressed by the alumni rallying around to kind of give them really an opportunity to say, hey, no, this program deserves to still be here. So I wanted to tip my hat to them. But you talk your dark horses, and I agree. The guys you're talking about, all absolute phenomenal players. A guy that I think does get a little bit overlooked, Cade Sullivan out of Western Michigan. You know, I really, really like what this kid's done. Last year, he finished tied in Western Michigan's career home runs. Like, I mean, this is a kid who can hit. He can hit really, really, really well. I've been very impressed with him. He led them in batting average a year ago, just batting over 300. 306, I believe, is what he ended up finishing with. Season high, he had, you know, 5 hits against Bucknell last year. He had 2 home runs at Kent State a year ago. I mean, this is a guy who comes out, he plays hard, and he's a leader on this team. He's a senior this year, and I really, really like what he's done, and I think that he should absolutely be in this conversation for Player of the Year. And last season wasn't even his best batting season. The year before, he had a much better batting percentage. He just looks the part. Now, his slugging percentage was up last year versus the previous year, but career-wise, his slugging percentage is .573. This is a kid who knows how to play baseball. I don't know that we'll necessarily see him at the next level, but I could see him playing pro ball somewhere in terms of minor league baseball.
And certainly has been a rock for this Western Michigan team. And in the same vein of guys who are on that short list for MAC Player of the Year, we had an incredible season by outfielder / first baseman / pitcher Aiden Longwell for Kent State last year, and he had some incredible stats where we would pull up his weekend stats afterwards, and he would have home runs and strikeouts and on base and stolen bases, and just had some incredible statistics. Not with the pitching, but I think Cade is in the same kind of same built, same kind of way.
Yeah,
a long ball hitter who mans that first base, and is a real leader on his team as well.
Sure.
And so, certainly on the short list for Player of the Year.
Who's your genuine, like, if you had to pick a guy right now, who are you saying wins Player of the Year? Could be a dark horse, could be anybody. Does anybody really jump off the page to you?
If I'm going to put money on Player of the Year right now, again, we just talked about Cade Sullivan. I brought up Aiden Longwell on purpose because a guy who reminds me a lot of Aiden Longwell out of Central Michigan is Robbie Morgan, outfielder / first baseman. Can hit the cover off of the ball. Again, another guy who is a leader on his team, as well as a guy who I think is going to be even better this year. He is the guy probably with the most power on the team for the Central Michigan team. He's 6'5", he's 230 pounds, and still swiped 12 bags last year, 12 steals from a guy that big. He is a power hitter and holds down the left field position as well as first base, and a guy who I think can make the kind of star plays that gets you looks at Player of the Year. So he is my pick to win Player of the Year this year, Robbie Morgan from Central Michigan.
I love that pick. I think Robbie has done an excellent job in his time up there in Mount Pleasant. I'm going a little bit closer to home, and I'm picking Garrett Pike, the infielder out of the University of Toledo. He has been an All-MAC player his entire career. His career batting average is .329. He has 25 stolen bases in his career. He had 12 last year. You're talking about guys stealing bases. And this is another kid who can just absolutely crush a baseball. He had 15 home runs last year, which not overly impressive when you look at some of the numbers, but this is a guy who constantly gets on base. He knows what to do. His slugging percentage was .623 a year ago. He 24 base on balls. Like, he's a guy who understands how to behave at the plate, how to get what he wants in order to get on base. And this is my pick. Like I said, he's a two-time All-MAC player, I believe second team for both of those. I'm really impressed with him. You know, last year he ranked fourth in the MAC in ribbies. He was tied for fifth in home run, 8 in slugging percentage, and then 16 games with multiple ribbies. This is a player who I truly believe now he gets an opportunity to really showcase more of what he is, because now he's going to be a leader on this team. A lot more pressure is going to be on him to kind of help Toledo get a little bit more relevance. They made the tournament 2 years ago to kind of get them back to the tournament, so the pressure is going to be on him. But I think this is a kid who can do it, and from what I've seen so far over his career, he's done it, and he's done it well.
Absolutely. And, we have these these Toledo examples of player of the year recently. Guys who, whether they won it or not, Toledo has put up player of the year candidates year after year for the past 5 years or so. And really impressive for a Rockets program that has not been great at baseball. Yeah. And to have that ability to put up those player of the year candidates year after year speaks to the direction that this Rockets program is moving. And one of the reasons, spoiler alert, that they're one of our dark horses to win the conference. And so, yeah, certainly love to see Garrett Pike. And he certainly has a chance to win that player of the year. We would be remiss if we didn't mention picked by D1 Baseball as well as several other outlets as the leading player of the year candidate in the MAC is Decker Scheffler from Ball State, an outfielder there, who was coming in and really taking over the hard hitting, the power hitting role on a Ball State team that has that lost a few guys to graduation. Last year Scheffler was an All-MAC selection. There is a he's definitely going to bat towards the top of the order. There's a chance he's going to be the leadoff guy. He hit 449 for the conference last year, and slashed 378, 453, 597 overall. Mm-hmm. So a guy who hits right around 400, and is just a consistent performer. It seemed like every time I looked at a Ball State box score last year, I was looking at Scheffler having some sort of clutch hit to lead the Cardinals to a victory, and so I would not be surprised if he won Player of the Year either. I think he has a real shot to be the turning point or the engine that drives this Ball State machine.
Interesting. I mean, I love this pick, right? You talk about him loading up the stat sheet his entire time at Ball State. I'm 1,000% on board with that, and I love that pick by them. This is a guy, I think, when you look at Player of the Year, you got to see a guy who's a complete player. It's not just excellent in one category, and Decker really does that. He exemplifies that every single time he takes to the diamond, and it's always really impressive when you see a guy like that step up and play. I love all three of our Player of the Year candidates. I think every single one of them can absolutely win this thing. And then even some of these dark horses, you know, some of these guys we talked about before, I would not be surprised to see them receiving votes or to see them like as a finalist or, you know, however that's going to shake out. These are all guys who are true contenders for this award. You mentioned dark horses. You mentioned Toledo as a dark horse. Let's talk MAC tournament. The field is now swelled out to 6 teams. It's in the last several years, it's been 4 teams, and it was played on home sites. It's now being played at the Avon Mercy Health Stadium, home of the Lake Erie Crushers. The MAC is going back there after several years off. Let's talk about that for a second. How do you feel about them playing at a neutral site versus a home site? I love it.
Well, the nice thing about a neutral site is that it does allow for a more even playing field among these teams. I think when we heard Kent State would be hosting the tournament last year, we assumed that the Golden Flashes had this all locked up. They were the top seed, and they looked like the strongest team all year long in the regular season. And then to have to lose on your own home site and to not walk away with that, regional selection, being a one selection conference, I think that's tough. And so I do think there's a benefit just in terms of optics for a neutral site that says if something does happen that would result in us not walking away the champion that we are supposed to be, we have the kind of the shielding of that neutral site. Mm-hmm. I don't love it for the conference. I think having a neutral site adds a layer of legitimacy. I think having a neutral site, especially one as nice as the Avon Mercy Health stadium.
It's a mouthful of a stadium, so.
It's a great venue, and it's a and it looks nice. It's a great place to sit and watch a ball game, and it's a place that I think has the power to draw fans. That being said, the top teams in our conference do draw fans, and they draw regular fans who like the stadiums that they go to. As somebody who lived about a half a mile from the Kent State stadium and walked to games there for a while, it is a great place to go watch a ball game. And so to have home sites, I think, is a cool way to reward fans who support these teams throughout the year. I don't know that the neutral site draws home fans the way home sites do, but it does allow for other fans in the community. The MAC baseball tournament, it just isn't that big of a draw in terms of in terms of fans, and so it is nice to have the opportunity to draw some fans who maybe aren't MAC baseball fans all year long, but if the tournament is in your backyard, it might make sense to take the kids and go watch it. And so all of that to say, I think it's a mixed bag. I think there are strong points and less strong points. I'm a fan of home sites, but you won't hear me complaining when it comes tournament time. I'm just going to be ready to watch some baseball.
I love it. I love it. And then, of course, the expansion from 4 teams to 16. Big fan of that. You know, obviously we have an 11-team conference, Buffalo being the only full member institution that does not field a baseball team. But I love this expansion from 16 or from 4 teams to 6 teams. I think that now we're going to see guys and programs that were right there from the 4-team field. They're going to have an opportunity to go win these games, compete in this tournament. I don't want to expand it. I don't want to expand it too much. I don't think 8 is the next move, but I think 6 is right in the sweet spot, and I think that's going to make for an even more exciting tournament. Because these top 6 teams, really the top 4 teams, always beat up on each other every year. These top 6 teams, you catch a, let's say, a Bowling Green who comes in at that 6 seed, and they're playing hot at the right time, that could be a team you don't want to see in the tournament. A Western Michigan comes in, they get hot at the right time. You don't want to see that team come tournament time. So I really love the expansion from 4 to 6.
I think the expansion from 4 to 6 does allow for those dark horses to have an opportunity to win the whole thing. I think it allows for young teams, especially with a lot of young talent, to develop that talent throughout the course of the season, and to come in and be a real pain in the tournament and potentially take away that championship. And I do think that bringing in these extra teams actually benefits the top teams, because when you give those top teams a bye, you give yourselves an opportunity to see who has the full rotation, as well as the bullpen help to really get your pitching through a tournament situation. Like the basketball tournament, I think having a one bid conference means that you have to select the tournament champion. And the more teams you add to a tournament, the more volatility you do. And so it almost punishes teams who are good in the regular season to add more teams to this conference tournament. It's even more saying, we don't care about your regular season results. We only care about this tournament. And I don't like that. I don't like devaluing the regular season. Right now, we're taking over half the teams. The only thing you have to do is finish in the top half of the league in order to make the tournament. Now, there is some benefit to being one of the top two teams, but I think overall it devalues the regular season, and it gives an opportunity for a dark horse team to come through and to win the tournament. And I think if you're a fan of that team, it's great. If you're a fan of the conference, it's awful. Because as a fan of the conference, what do we want? You're talking about we want recognition on the national stage. And the way to get that is to have teams like Central Michigan a few years ago who won a few games, won a couple of upset games in these regionals, like Kent State back in 2012 and made it all the way to the College World Series. It's these kind of runs by unheralded teams that brings the conference the kind of respect that might get them multiple bids. And if you're sending a team who on a fluke won the tournament, I don't know if that's the best representative of your conference. Now, unfortunately, as a one big conference, we don't have a better method to pick who goes to the tournament other than to have a tournament at the end of the year. I don't know that six teams gets us closer to finding the right team to go further. And so I am concerned.
I do think, though, having the six team, you find the team who's hottest at that time. And I think that's important going into a tournament, right? And especially into the NCAA tournament. You know, and we've talked about this before, you know, just in other things. I think when you get like an NCAA tournament team for basketball, you know, we've seen Toledo lose in the NCAA or in the men's basketball tournament multiple times as a prohibitive favorite. But we've seen Akron step up. They've gotten hot at the right time. We've seen Kent State step up. They've gotten hot at the right time. We've seen these other programs step up. Ohio, who has been a basketball class of the MAC, step up, got hot at the right time, and had several NCAA tournament runs. So I even if it's not the best, I don't disagree with your point about devaluing the regular season, but I think it is, but you're going to find the hottest team at the right time that with that hot streak riding that momentum could help secure a few more upset victories in a postseason tournament.
I'm not sure that's true. That's certainly the tournament does produce it can produce a champion who is the hottest team at the time. But what we notice about teams when you talk about the basketball tournament, I think is the easiest example, is that teams who are streaking at the right time, at least in the MAC, this doesn't necessarily hold true for other conferences, but at least in the MAC, the teams who are streaking at the right time do often have an advantage in the tournament, and then often lose that streak by the time they make it to the NCAA tournament. And I think the same is true, even more so, of baseball, is a team who gets hot in the last week of the season and carries that into the tournament and even into a tournament victory often burns out because it's the MAC. The conference doesn't have the depth of these other conferences. And especially if you burn through your arms in the last week of the season trying to get into the tournament and then continue to burn those arms in the tournament, by the time you reach a regional, you're throwing nothing. And I think that makes it harder for teams coming out of the tournament who are hot, who are streaking, as you're saying. I think it makes it harder for them to continue to compete. The way the NCAA regional, super regional, College World Series is set up nowadays, it's a grueling tournament. It's a grueling set of games that places you against the toughest competition in the sport, and you have to go out and perform day after day. It almost doubles the length of your season to go and play in all of these games and into the College World Series. And it benefits teams who have the depth, who have the talent, and who are able to not just capture their streakiness, but also to rely on their consistency. And I think the way the tournament is set up, it doesn't necessarily reward teams who are consistent. Like you're saying, it does reward these streaky teams, and I think that overall that's bad for the conference.
Fair enough. I can respect that opinion. I think that we're going to be on slightly different sides of the fence on that, and that's perfectly okay. Let's talk standings and kind of which teams make the tournament this year. You've got this incredible table that I've been just drooling over while we've been sitting here with your predictions for not just the MAC schedule, but for the entire schedule as a whole. And you know, kind of walk me through this. Who do you love? I mean, I'm looking at it right now. It looks like you love Ball State at the top. And not really love, but you've got them winning the regular season by a game. But kind of walk me through this and talk about this these wins and losses, and let's talk about the schedule a little bit.
Yeah, this is a so I went through and I took every game that these MAC teams are going to play, and I picked a winner for every game here, and we came away with a table that I think it represents the conference well, without necessarily being how things are going to turn out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that is to say that we don't know how the baseball season is going to turn out. I made about 450 picks in terms of game wise here, and I'm sure that many of them are incorrect. So we ended up with a table here that I think is a little surprising, but not that surprising. And so we do end up with a table that has Ball State at the top with one extra conference win over Kent State and Central Michigan, who are tied for that second place spot. In my projections, Kent State would take that tie with Central Michigan to end up with the number two team, with Central Michigan number three. Rounding out our spots in the tournament would be Toledo, Ohio, and Western Michigan, taking the last spot there. I think interesting, my picks have Miami not performing very well in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
A team that looks like they perform better out of conference than a lot of our other teams, but not performing very well in the conference. Again, all of this is kind of up in the air. I think realistically, we agree that Ball State, Kent State, Central Michigan, those are the three teams who are going to be the top of our conference.
Yep.
I would go ahead and say take out your pen, even if it's not one of the ones with the eraser from fifth grade. Take out your pen and go ahead and write in ink that Ball State, Kent State, and Central Michigan are in that end of the year tournament. I am that confident that those three teams will be there. Now, going back to your erasable pen, maybe we pull that out for this Toledo team. And this Western Michigan team, I think, are two teams that maybe we put them in pen, but we give ourselves the opportunity to erase that pen because both of these teams have the talent to make this end-of-the-year tournament, but maybe aren't necessarily quite as much of locks as our top three. And then rounding out for that last spot, I have three teams who have a shot to make it. I think Ohio is the one who's going to take that last spot, but easily. Miami could be the team in there. And then dark horse from the bottom of the conference, I think Eastern Michigan has a chance. I think Eastern Michigan could sneak in there. The rest of these teams, I don't think really have a chance to sneak in. Bowling Green does have a few talented players. A few talented players can really make the difference for a team, for the results of a team. I just don't think they have enough. Akron has done a great job in recruiting this year. They've got a couple of promising young freshmen, but I think they're a little bit too young to see the results of that. And I just don't see it from Northern Illinois this year. So I think realistically, we're looking at Ball State, Kent State, Central Michigan, Toledo, and Western Michigan in the tournament, with Ohio, Eastern, and Miami competing for that last spot. Most likely, I think we're going to look at Western taking the last spot of those six spots. But I would not be surprised to see Miami in there. I'd be a little surprised to see Eastern, but I think they can do it.
Okay. I love those picks, honestly. I mean, your numbers are impressive just to look at, frankly. And I really, really like this setup. I like these picks. I think it's very, very, very fair to assume Northern Illinois, Akron, not going to do anything in the conference this year. They'll pick up a few conference victories, but these are teams who have just looked really bad historically and continue to do so. And nothing against these programs. It's just the nature of where they're at. Akron has really struggled to field a baseball team. that's been competitive. Northern Illinois, same thing. It's really struggled to field a baseball team that's competitive. So I think, you know, going back to your Penn analogy, you could chalk these guys up to being, you know, will not make tournament. Of course, we say that and watch one of them surprises us and goes on a crazy run to pick up the six seed in the tournament. But no, I truly believe you can mark these guys down as players or as teams who will not make this tournament. I really dig the Miami pick. As a dark horse, I think Miami, for all that they've done last year, they would have been the eighth man. Years before, they would have been real close as well. Like, this is a Miami team who they've put guys in the lead. They've got a lot of talent come through Oxford. I don't really think that if they made it, it would be all that surprising. So I'm right there with you, and I love those picks. I really think, though, in terms of dark horse, you and I have talked about this multiple times. Toledo baseball is so hit or miss for me. They always put out great players. They always have lots of talent. I think you even mentioned the other day when we were talking about it, Toledo has this incredible knack for losing to teams they should not be losing to, but then they show up really well in games that they have no business even being in. And we've seen that come tournament time. We've seen that in the MAC tournament 2 years ago. Toledo played Central Michigan, who won the tournament, to a one-run game. Lost 11-10. This, you know, and that would have been Jerron Williams, I think, was on that team as well, the 2023 MAC Player of the Year. This Toledo team has a lot of talent, and, you know, I'm going to kind of talk about Garrett Pike real quick, you know, the guy who I think can win MAC MVP, but you've got, you know, Scott Makowitz and Brian Fry. These are veterans who will help lead this program this year, and Rob Reinstedtel is going to really, really lean on these guys to carry them back to the MAC tournament. So I really, really love what Toledo's doing. If they can just be more consistent, if you get a consistent Toledo baseball team, watch out.
Well, and as we were saying, that's the key to college baseball is consistent production. One of the things people like to talk about, at least in modern college baseball, is we want to talk about hot, cold, hot. And it's this idea that you want to start the year hot. It gets your name talked about in the sport. It gets your guys excited, gets your fan base excited, and it gets you up on these you know, early season rankings. And that's really important when it comes to the RPI. Which are the numbers that the NCAA uses to determine seedings, also to determine regionals, and everything that you need there. And I think in our conference, Kent State is the best at kind of manipulating the RPI. When we talk about hot, cold, hot, the next section we talk about is cold. You kind of want to go cold in the middle of the season. You want a middle of the season where you're really working on players. You're trying your young guys. You're trying things. You're working out, but you're not trying so hard to win games in this middle chunk of the season. And then towards the end of the season is when you turn on the gas and you get hot again. So that way you're getting hot at the right time. You are getting hot in time for your conference tournament. You're getting hot in time for the regionals and the super regionals and, you know, cross your fingers, College World Series. And when you do that kind of hot, cold, hot, recognizing, mm-hmm, that baseball is more than 50 games in a year for everybody. It's such a long season. There's so many games. You can't expect your guys to stay hot the whole time. And I think that even this hot, cold, hot mentality, it recognizes that consistency is key. Now, any team made up of college students, it's going to have a hard time performing consistently.
Yeah.
There's a reason that these aren't professionals yet. And when you have this consistency for a team, it often looks like this hot, cold, hot. It's where we're hot to start the season and we're hot at the end of the season. And in the middle, we perform to a very basic level. We cut things down to where it's just that basic level. And it's nice to have that line where you know this is about as low as we're going to sink as a team. And it's still consistently okay. And so I don't know that Toledo has that. Toledo has talent. Toledo has talented players. Toledo has talented hitters. And I worry that without the consistent pitching, without the consistent arms, and with really a handful of power hitters on the team, I worry that the Rockets don't have that consistency that they need to carry them through even the regular season, but especially the conference tournament.
I can respect it. I mean, and because we haven't seen it yet, right? I think that's the big thing. It's hard to expect that's going to happen when we haven't seen it. Now, granted, you know, Rob Reinsdettel is, you know, this is his fourth year as the coach. He took over for Corey Mee back after he finished out the year in 2019. Who, fun fact, Corey Mee is now with Western Michigan as the assistant head coach. With stops, you're going to love this, at Akron from 21 to 22. And then he was the assistant coach at Eastern Michigan in 2020. So that's a coach who has stayed in the MAC. And he, you know, he's had a nice career as an assistant, as whatever. Toledo's his only head coaching gig as it sits. But I do think that, you know, now it's really, this is the turning point for Rob Reinsdettel and this program. You keep moving forward. You know, you've made some positive strides. You've won in your regime, you've won two MAC Player of the Years in the three seasons you've coached. You know, so there are a lot of positives here. It's just, let's string it together and let's find a way to take that next step. Let's find a way to, if you're Toledo, let's find a way to be consistent like Kent State. Let's find a way to be gritty like Ball State or Central Michigan when it comes tournament time. And I really think that this is the year Toledo takes a big step forward. That's just my opinion.
Well, you're right to point out Toledo's had these Players of the Year the past 3 years. Two of the past 3 years.
Sure, yeah.
Toledo led the MAC in home runs last year with 98, I think, home runs total last year as a team. And they lost Deron Williams to the draft. But they're returning a lot of that lineup that led the league in home runs last year. Toledo also had the highest fielding percentage last year. Great on defense. And those are the kind of things that you can build on.
Yep.
As I said, I'm worried about the rotation. Toledo has a Noah Johnson at the top of the rotation who transferred in from Virginia Tech ahead of last season, I think.
That sounds correct.
And Noah Johnson does a great job to head that rotation. It's the next arms that worry me about that rotation. It's the bullpen that worries me in Toledo. And it's the consistent pitching that allows you to continue to perform at the top of the MAC. It's the reason that Ball State, even in years when they don't have hitters, consistently performs at the top of the MAC, is because they do churn out pitching. They have great pitchers year after year after year. Kent State does a great job, a pretty well-rounded team in terms of having great arms, also great fielders. Toledo has yet to completely put it together, but you're right, things are looking up for this Rockets team.
Let's go ahead and, if you had to just pick a team right now, who's winning the MAC? Who's going to the NCAA tournament? I know this is preseason prediction, but let's, you know, just based off of kind of different things. Obviously, we know Kent State lost three guys to the draft. Ball State lost three guys to the draft. You talked about Decker Scheffler leading that Ball State team. You know, we talked about Flash is looking to replace Aiden Longwell. I mean, just a lot of guys who are just going to be missing key pieces to these teams who have been helped them be so good. Central Michigan, you mentioned at the top of the show the coaching change and then the transfer portal where a lot of those guys followed. Jordan Bishel to Cincinnati. Talk to me about who you think wins the MAC tournament if you had to pick a winner today.
The Kent State Golden Flashes are going to win the MAC tournament this year. They're a team who is consistently in the tournament every year. They're a team who's consistently in the championship game almost every year. And they're a team who this year is going to put it all together. They did lose a couple of stud players this past year. But, I think they have the arms. They have Jack Carsonis is returning for them at the top of their rotation. Eric Chalice also returning. Both of these guys, a lot of career appearances. Both of these guys with a holding opponents to under 200 averages. Both great pitchers. They have a lot of great pitchers for the Flashes, really looking forward to seeing the pitching there. And Jordan Kalinda expected to be the closer for the Golden Flashes. And
they could be Golden Flashers.
He was a setup guy for the Flashes last spring, holding opponents to a 190 average, and expect him to be in that closer role this year and really shut the door on teams. Guy we didn't mention when we were talking about player of the year, but who has consistently been one of the top players in the MAC, is shortstop Michael McNamara. He is an on-base machine. He is constantly on base. Flashes also have great outfielder Josh Johnson. Jake Casey is a power hitter who's ready to take over for them. Top to bottom, I think this team is stacked. Guy who we mentioned, guys who are successful in summer ball in the MAC, transfer from Tiffin, Tim Orr.
Yeah.
He actually won the Player of the Year in the Prospect League over the summer. And so, I think this Flashes team is stacked. Jeff Duncan has been with Kent State for 10 years now. And every year he has this team ready to compete. I would be very surprised if that's any different this year. And I do think Kent State is the one who goes to regionals this year. That is not an exciting pick, but I think it is the right one.
I think it's absolutely the correct one. This tournament field, it looks a lot different. Ball State had that magical run last year for them. They got hot at the right time. And I don't want to say magical. They were the second best team in the conference last year. I don't want to take anything away from what Coach has done over there at Ball State. They've looked excellent. They've been consistent. Central Michigan, I think they take a step back. I think they do have, senior outfielder Jacob Donahue. I think he's going to be awesome for them. He was one of just six MAC players to have a perfect fielding percentage on 117 attempts. Like, excellent, excellent. He had 35 ribbies. This is a kid who can really play ball, especially defensively. Adam, he had a 3.59 ERA last year and a 1.07 WHIP. Posted an 8-4 record. He's a junior. I expect him to take a step forward in this rotation, but I don't think Central Michigan wins this tournament. I think there's too many things that they have to kind of retool and rebuild after the loss of the coach, after the players transferred. I think the pick of Kent State, while not sexy, is the correct pick for all the reasons you mentioned. Yes, you have to replace some really key players. Colin Matthews led the teams in runs a year ago. This is a program that just, they don't rebuild, they just reload. I think that's that phrase is so overused in sports, and I recognize that, but that's exactly what Kent State is. They don't rebuild, they reload. And we're going to see them just reload and just continue to be one of the dominant forces in the Mid-American Conference.
Agreed. I mean, I think you're right. The Golden Flashes are the team that's going to go to the regional from the MAC. I don't know that we're giving Central Michigan enough credit. We talked about you mentioned Ademir Kutcher, and a kid who really could be the best pitcher in the MAC this year. Central Michigan also has a senior, Ben Vitas, who looked great in fall ball, was their Sunday starter last year, and both guys, Mirkic and Vitas, have fastballs that are in the upper 80s, low 90s, and that stuff plays in this conference. And so I think both guys, great command, both guys going to be great pitchers in the conference this year, and I think it's that pitching that's going to give Central Michigan a shot, similar to Ball State in terms of pitching, and obviously Central Michigan also has my player of the year pick has my player of the year pick in Robbie Morgan, but also has a lot of these stud players who we've been talking about. So I think we spent a lot of time talking about Kent State with good reason, and a lot of time talking about Ball State with good reason. But I wanted to make sure that we also hit Central Michigan has every opportunity to win the conference, and I think we'd be remiss not to to mention how stacked they are.
No, Central Michigan is still going to be an absolute contender, and I have them as one of my three top contenders in this conference this year. I want to make sure that we recognize what they have. I love that the coach that they brought in, Jake Sable, former Central Michigan pitcher. He knows the program. He's been part of the program that's been on the rise. He's been in this program. He understands this culture, and he's going to be able to relate to these players really, really well. Like, hey, I've literally been where you've been. I've stood where you've stood. So I feel like there's going to be a lot of familial kind of bonding with the coach and the team. I think that we're going to see them have their struggles early, but I think by come conference time, they're going to be fine. They're going to be rolling, and they're going to be in one of those top three spots come the end of the season for the MAC tournament. Well, Graham, anything else you wanted to talk about in terms of MAC baseball? Anything you wanted to throw out there? Thoughts, ideas, suggestions, anything like that?
Well, if they're listening, maybe we just host the MAC tournament in my backyard. I don't have a lot of room, but I think it would result in a lot of home runs, which are exciting for the fans. So if the conference wants to give me a ring, I would be happy to answer that call. My rates are really affordable in terms of renting my backyard as a facility.
I love it. What about parking? How's that parking situation?
Parking is non-existent.
Street parking.
Right. Yeah. No. It's awful. It's awful. I don't think I'm doing a good job selling this to the conference, but trust me, if you call me, I'm willing to lie. So, give me a call.
Well, guys, the season kicks off February 16th. All 11 MAC schools are in action. They're all over the country, Florida, Arizona, Texas. I mean, it's going to be a great opening weekend, really week. That's going to be, this Thursday is when baseball kicks off for these programs. Looking forward to an awesome season of MAC baseball. Looking forward to what these teams do. Looking forward to, as our predictions say, seeing Kent State win the tournament. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Graham, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate your knowledge and expertise talking about the Mid-American Conference. This is such an exciting sport, and it's especially exciting within this conference, especially because people don't really give it that much attention. So I'm excited to kind of bring that knowledge, that wealth of knowledge that you have to the audience at home and to get them excited about MAC baseball.
Really excited about the season. Excited about the season kicking off on February 16th. Happy birthday to me. It's a great gift that the conference gave me. And yeah, you're right. We're going to kick off the start of the year down south. A lot of teams playing in the Carolinas, a few teams in Texas, a few teams kind of scattered throughout the south to start the year. And really excited to get back to college baseball. Really had a great time here. So, you know, thanks for having me.
Well, you heard it, guys. That's our baseball preview for the 2024 MAC baseball season. Looking forward to bringing you more action, more coverage the rest of the way. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Check out social medias. All the handles have now been switched. We are updated to the MSC Podcast. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter X, over there on TikTok. Have now created a TikTok account. Going to try to bring in more fans that way. Follow us on YouTube over at MSC Podcast. And then the website. Got the updated URL handle at www.themscpodcast.com. Thank you all so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week.